turn to John chapter 4. That's where we're going to be taking our text from. It's chapter 4, verse 5 through 15. Jesus had left and went and departed to Galilee. Jesus had gone through Samaria. He was on a mission. And in John chapter 4, verse 5 through 15, it says, he came to the city of Samaria, which is Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph was Jacob's son, but now Jacob's son was there. I'm sorry, I messed that all up. Let me start over. I can't read. Okay, let's start over. That was funny, wasn't it? Okay. All right. John chapter 4, verse 5 through 15. Okay. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, he sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And then a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said unto her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone to the town to buy food. Now the Samaritan woman said, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would ask him and he will give you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw from. The well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and so did his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He's talking about the well water. But whosoever drinks the water I give to them, they will never be thirsty. Indeed, I will give them water. And that water will become like a spring of water welling up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and I don't have to keep coming back here to draw water. This woman, she came out on an unusual hour. It was around noon. And Jesus was there at the well, and she meets Jesus. And of course, they were alone. This was not good, because you're not to be alone. That was inappropriate back in those days. And so, unless you were kin or if you were married. And so what we can learn from the woman at the well, is that she was a Samaritan. She had a bad reputation. She looked for men to satisfy her need. She was an outcast. She would go and draw the water from the well when she thought everyone was gone. She was an unmarried woman living with a man who was not her husband. This woman had heard about the Messiah, but she didn't realize that he was right in front of her. She was distracted. Her daily duties were keeping her distracted. Jesus exposed her sin. I'll wait on her. I got them out of order for her, probably. There it is. Good job. Okay, this woman had heard about the Messiah, but didn't realize he was right in front of her. She was distracted. Her daily duties were keeping her distracted. Jesus exposed her sin. Her eyes began to be open to the truth of who he was. Are you distracted today? She shared her testimony of how Jesus changed her life. We can share our testimony about Jesus and what he's done in our life. This is a powerful tool for leading others to believe. So I encourage you today to tell your testimony of Jesus, what he's done for you, because you never know when you meet someone, when you share your testimony is so, so powerful. I mean, you know, of course, I've shared this testimony of my husband, you know, having a heart attack, and the Lord reached down and touched him, brought him back, because God has a plan. So you don't know if you share that testimony. I know I've shared it many times. People, it really encourages those that are believers, even non-believers, you know. But this woman had been married 5 times. She was bold. Okay. All right. This woman had been married 5 times, and she was bold. She did not mind talking to men. Men was not a problem for her. You know, but we don't know how many times. I mean, we don't know why she had so many husbands. She had been married 5 times, but we do not understand. We don't know why, but Jesus knew. But see, Jesus had a plan for her, you know, and he revealed her sin. And the more she talked to Jesus, the more her understanding grew that Jesus was the Messiah. She drops her water jar and rushes back to the village and says to come and see a man who has told me everything that I have done. The story of the woman at the well teaches us. Yes. I'm throwing her off. It's my fault. Okay. The story of the woman at the well teaches us God loves us regardless of our choices we make. Only Jesus can provide the water that our thirsty souls crave. No matter how hard you try to quench your thirst, you're never going to be satisfied. You can get everything in this world. You can be around people and you think those people are going to fill your desire and quench that thirst. It's not happening. There's only one that's going to fill that thirst and quench that thirst. And his name is Jesus, because he is that living water. Okay. This is what happens when you look to people and things to quench your thirst. This cup has holes in it because, see, the holes represent the things of the world and people. There's no way those things are going to quench your thirst. It's impossible to put that water in that cup because it's got holes in it. And that represents the unquenchable spirit, you know, with things of this world. But when you have Jesus in your life, you will be filled. He will overflow you. He will quench your thirst. And you will overflow, because that he is the well. He's the well that's living within you. Hallelujah. He is the Messiah. He is the overfilling well. I'm going a little too fast now. I'm going to give her a minute. I got her distracted now. You're doing good. Good job. But, you know, Jesus, he is the only one that's going to quench that desire in your soul. You can have everything in this world. But if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. I'm just saying, you have nothing, because he is our everything. You know, he is our Savior. He's the one that died on the cross for us. He gave his life for us. All right, the Samaritan faith, it was a combination of the Samaritan faith was a combination of commands and rituals from the law of Moses put together with various superstitions. The Samaritans built a counterfeit temple at Mount Gerizim and adopted their own priesthood sacrificial temple. In 103 to 104, John Hyrcanus reigned and destroyed the temple, Samaritan's temple. And because of their hatred for each other, they hated each other. okay, the Samaritans and the Jews, they didn't like Egypt. And because of that, they would take, the Jews, they would take a four-day journey to from Jerusalem to Judea through the regions of Jordan instead of a two-day journey through Samaria. And, you know, the Jews, when they came in contact with the Samaritans, they thought they were unclean. They didn't want nothing to do with the Samaritans. You know, it was normal for a Jew not to go through Samaria, you know, because, you know, the thing was, if they were around Samaritans, they would be unclean, you know. So Jacob's Well, you can visit Jacob's Well today and in Sychar. And, but anyways, you can visit Jacob's Well. And the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom in 722 BC and imported people from other countries they had conquered. Most of the Jewish population was exiled. I can. Okay. Most of the Jewish population, they had to leave. They left. All of them left except for the poorest people there. And they intermingled and they intermarried with each other. And can you imagine? I'm just thinking, you know, can you imagine if you were in those days and you were a Samaritan? I mean, what would you think? I mean, what would you say if Jesus was telling you about this water? You might say, listen, I've been in this area forever. I'm just saying, maybe you live there. I have never heard of such of a well. I mean, where in the world is this well? I've been here all of my life. Or you might be like, you might even say, listen, show me where the well is. I am tired of coming to the well. I've had enough of coming here, so give me instructions where this well is. And I just want to encourage you, you know, that Jesus, he is the living water. And, you know, okay. She's fast. Okay, but I want to say a prayer over everyone. And I want everybody to bow their heads. She's giving out water if anybody would like some. And anyways, if everybody would bow their head, I just want to say a prayer over each one of you. Lord, I know you have great plans for each of us and our families. In our hard times, you are our strength. You are our peace in the midst of the storm. When we feel alone in the battle, we know you never leave us, nor do you forsake us. Help us to hear your voice and obey your word. I want to thank you for all your blessings upon me and my family and our families. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to read John, 1 John 1 and 9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, tomorrow, nobody's promised tomorrow. I mean, so if you don't have Jesus in your heart today, you need to ask him to come into your heart. Because times are getting close. I mean, I know some of y'all probably say, well, I've heard this forever. But it's true. He's coming back. And Romans 10 and 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You just have to believe that. So you just need to ask Jesus into your heart today if you've not received him, because times are getting shorter. And I want to say a prayer. Everyone repeat after me. Dear God, I know I am a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. And I believe that he died on the cross for my sin. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord today. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you need prayer for anything, hey, this is the end of my message. I'm very short on it.